Kate, how are you doing? Kate Gregory, it's been a while.
It has. It's good to be back.
Yes, it is. So you are a C++ MVP.
I am, among other things.
Of course. And we have MVP event going on, the Global Summit 11.
Global Summit, here I am. It's great to be in town.
Totally. So let's talk real quickly. What's an MVP, Kate? Come on.
Yeah, I'll tell you the number one misconception about MVPs. People believe that they're chosen for how smart they are. Mm. And that if A is an MVP and B is not, it must be because A is smarter than B. Mm-hmm. But a certain amount of technical knowledge is perhaps necessary, but it's by no means sufficient.
Okay.
So the real key is that you have to be generous.
Mm.
Okay. So once upon a time, it was newsgroups. MVPs were active in the newsgroups. But over the last, decade, this sort of broadened. Some of us blog or write books, or we're as public speakers, like I do a lot of speaking.
Yes, you do.
Or Stack Overflow counts these days, because that's, you know, like a huge place where people come to get technical help. And someone who's consistently generous and accurate will become an MVP.
Excellent. And from the perspective of Microsoft, like, what does it mean to be an MVP? What does that get you?
Does it get me, or what does it get Microsoft?
Well, I want to ask you what it gets you.
So it gets me a ton of things.
Yeah.
The most important one is information. We get paid in information. So interactions with the product groups where they say, here's how something works. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they say, here's something we're thinking about. Does it make you throw up, or is it great? And then, of course, each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get each other. That's a huge, huge benefit. So,
absolutely.
You know, coming together for something like this for 3 days of each other, oh, I am so happy to be here.
You know, that's great.
It's a wonderful time. Yeah. So we get a community thing going on amongst ourselves. We get information. We get invited into certain betas. There's a special MVP area on Connect where we can submit things. And there's a bunch of things I don't quite understand how they work. But in the forums, you know, if something needs to be addressed by a Microsoft person and isn't getting anywhere, MVPs can kind of escalate things.
And, excellent.
Yeah, so it's all about flow of information. Back
agreed.
And forth.
I mean, and from Microsoft perspective, clearly you're very important to us because you are really in the external community.
Yes, boots on the ground.
And you, one thing, I mean, and this is especially true amongst the C++ folks, nothing against anybody else out there who's MVPs. We have MVPs that span all of our technologies.
Yeah.
Is that you guys can, you speak your minds, and it's interesting to see you guys over the years ask for certain features and say, hey, look, we really would like this because, you know, it's been lacking for this amount of time.
Right. Sometimes we have a tendency that's longer than the folks we talk to. So in Microsoft, people change jobs fairly often.
And well, except for me. Keep on going.
So I've been an MVP for, I think, 7 years, and there are people who have been there longer. And so they say, well, I remember 10 years ago, you know, we did this, because, of course, they were active in the product before that. And we'll often hear, like, oh, that might have been before my time, but like, tell me more, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So we have a sort of an institutional memory. And there have been meetings where someone said, look, you know, that was tried 15 years ago, and here's what happened, so we don't think you should try that.
Yeah.
So, you know, it can be interesting that way. And, you know, we say what we see with our customers or our employers, depending on the personal, you know, some people have jobs and some people have businesses. But either way, here's what happens back at my desk.
Sure.
And then that can be very useful information. I mean, not that Microsoft doesn't have other ways of reaching out to end the final users. But in the case of developers, MVPs are a really efficient way.
Absolutely.
To get that conversation.
Because you are developers.
We are developers. And we are, in some ways, ordinary users. And that we're trying, you know, in the case of Visual Studio and Visual C++, we're trying to make software with it. You know, it's simple as that. Yeah, we, you know, I train on it and I speak on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I come home from giving some presentation about how to do thing X, I go sit at my desk and I do thing X for a while, you know?
Sure.
I mean, that's how that works.
You're a developer first and foremost.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the language now. I mean, the MVP program, very important to Microsoft. You're very highly valued. So the V in MVP is taken very seriously at Microsoft across all of our divisions. So thank you for your dedication and interest. And help these guys do the right thing. That's the most important thing. Right?
It's a two-way conversation.
Absolutely.
It really is.
So the language. You're a C++ MVP. Why?
Why?
How's that for a question?
So I have different answers at different times. Okay. You know? Like the answer a couple years ago is different from the answer now.
So what's the answer now?
You know how every keynote you've ever been to, somebody in a suit says it's a great time to be a developer?
Yes.
It's just, they just have to do that. But it is kind of a great time to be a C++ developer because some interesting things are happening right now. You know, the language is changing in some really powerful and fun ways. Mm-hmm. There's maybe some little bit of reshifting of people's opinions about what language to use for what task. I mean, it's always the platitude, use the right tool for the job, but
yes.
Sometimes the right tool varies for the same job over the years. And so I am feeling more excitement about C++. I mean, you know, I used to say, when I'm done, I need to turn the lights out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not the case anymore. There's lots of folks, lots of young folks, people in their 20s, you know, I'm in a room full of MVPs, and some of them don't have a single white hair. Who'd have thunk it?
Agree, that's awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, there is a newer energy happening, which I'm liking.
Yeah.
And C++ is a language that inspires passion. Mm. You know, people say they're in love with C++, and they say it with a straight face, and I've never met anyone who's in love with C#. They might love it.
Yeah. But
they're not in love with it. You know, there's something about C++, and maybe it's because it's a language you learned when you were younger, or I don't know.
But, true.
You know, it gets a hold of some people.
Well, there's also a lot of people that say they hate C++. I've written some really scathing blog posts by people that actually surprised me that they would hate it so much. But, you know, what is it about the language specifically that you find when you have... So when you sit down as a programmer and an engineer and you have a problem to solve, you have a palette...
Yes.
Of tools to choose from. When do you go for C++ and why do you choose it?
Usually it's perf.
Okay.
Okay. And when it's not perf, it's legacy in the good sense.
Mm.
Not in the millstone around your neck, but in that aunt you never heard of left you a necklace and it turns out to be worth $100,000. That kind of legacy. You
right
know?
On.
Like you've got this code and it works.
Mm-hmm.
And it was written in C++, and the comments are all in Russian or Hungarian or wherever the developer was from, and nobody really knows why parts of it work, and if you port it to another language, maybe it won't work. Like maybe it's relying on how long an int is or something.
Mm-hmm.
And leave it alone. It's good. Maintain it and get the benefit of it. Don't just sit around rewriting all your stuff every 3 years in the language of the week, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one reason. But the other is perf, because not just the plain existence of perf, but the control of perf. In C++, you decide when things happen. So cleaning up memory takes time. With a garbage collector, any garbage collected model, you don't know when that will happen. With C++, you can control that utterly. You know, we have deterministic destruction. We know when it's going to happen, and if we want to, we can like write our own heap managers and whatnot and make sure that the cleanup only happens when we want it to happen and not before. And that gives us a control and knowing this will be the slow bit, this will be the fast bit. And all the things that people hate, like passing by reference versus by value, copying, not copying, the stuff that makes people's eyes roll up into the back of their head, is about controlling perf. You say, if I do this, it'll be faster, but it won't be thread safe, so I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to make a choice. And I used to say for a long time, if C++ had a motto, it would be, it's your foot. You know, you can shoot your foot off, but it's your foot. So you're the programmer. If that's what you want to do, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to let you do it. So you can cast anything to anything, and you can suppress things. And because, okay, you want to cast away const? You must have a reason. It's okay. You know, so you can hurt yourself. That's why people hate it, because you do have to be smart. But there are great rewards once you grasp it. It takes a long time, but once you grasp it, there's great rewards waiting for you.
Absolutely. And I mean, and the reason the language was created was to make a better C, apparently, or C with classes, generics, templates, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Let me ask you this. I mean, it's a very abstracted language, yet you have a lot of control over sort of coercing what is essentially the ultimate piece of a computer, which is memory.
Yes.
That's what we do as programmers.
Yes.
We're just messing around with memory.
Move memory around, and you've got the ability to do things that other languages protect you from.
Agreed.
Yeah.
So. But let me ask you this. You also have wonderful, super performant, powerful, abstracted libraries.
Wonderful.
Like the STL.
The STL, which, you know, that's the other emotion. So we have love and we have hate. We also have fear.
Okay.
People are afraid of the STL.
Why?
I have been wondering that for a long time. Like, literally, I mean, I used to edit a journal, and I would send out calls to my authors and say, will somebody please write me an STL article? And they would all respond, like, oh, no, I don't touch that, man. So, and these were people who were prepared to write about C++ in print and who were accomplished people, but they were scared of the STL.
Interesting. Yeah. They need to meet Stefan.
They
How
do.
Can you How, scare of Stefan?
It's all kittens and fluffy, and it's totally. Peppermint. It's all good. Yeah. Nothing to be afraid of at all.
Vector meow.
Yeah.
So that's interesting because you are given this powerful tool that has a syntax that certainly all the other popular languages like C#, Java, JavaScript, et cetera, they're all C-based. I mean, they're all similar. There's a little more ceremony in C++ versus C, obviously.
A lot of times it's about this choices. Right? So I can choose whether I wish to interact with the pointer or the thing it points to. Mm-hmm. But in C#, I can really only interact with the thing it points to. I can't really talk directly to the reference and say, you know, increment it or pointer arithmetic or things like that, right? And so you often have to specify things. You have to say how you want to do something because you have a choice. Whereas in another language, maybe you don't have a choice. Maybe all functions are virtual, so you don't get to say whether it's virtual or not. Mm-hmm. Maybe all calls are polymorphic, you don't get to say. Mm-hmm. And in C++, you get to say, and what's more, the default is whatever is the highest perf. Mm-hmm. So you have to specify if you want to do something different. And so that kind of freaks people out. Why do I have to say this, and why do I have to say that? Mm-hmm. Can't it just do what's right? And it's like, well, what's right? If you're writing an operating system that runs for days and days and days, versus if you're writing like a form with a master-child relationship and people can check and see if their order has shipped, what's right is completely different in those two apps, right?
Yep.
So you can't expect the language to know and to do something for you. You do it, and you're the programmer, and it's your foot. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to shoot it off? We got a keyword for that. It's no problem.
I hear you. So let me ask you a question, because when you go back in history, I mean, we sort of kind of, you know, when we came out really hard with .NET, and I'm being candid here, right? I mean, in some sense, you know, we made unmanaged code, is how it was called back then, sort of the crazy stepchild with the purple hair.
Yeah.
Talk to me about how you, because you were amazing in how you, I'll just use management, I need it, and I'm going to continue doing what I already know how to do. Talk to me about how those two worlds can work together. And
yeah, for me, I mean, I'm an interdisciplinary person. You know, it was a fairly natural thing. I use managed code for what I want to use managed code for, native for the rest. And I'm happy, but I don't want to talk smack about .NET. It's a great way to do certain things. Mm-hmm. And certainly, it's got wonderful support with libraries and designers. And, you know, if I want to build, like, throw together that master-child relationship, I'm not really going to do that in C++. You know, but if I want to write the engine that supports that, that does the calculations and the balancing and the whatever, I'm probably going to do that in C++. And especially if somebody else wrote that engine 15 or 20 years ago, I'm leaving it how it is, and I'm making it work. And maybe I have to pull out C++ CLI to do some interop in order to write a new managed UI over the native engine, so we can preserve all the goodness of the native engine and just stick a new face on it. That's a place where I'm really happy to live. And apparently it's a terrifying place because clients come to me and want help. And a lot of what I'm doing is saying, guys, this is not scary. I don't know why you're scared. Look what we're going to do. And then they come out of it and they got to keep their asset and their legacy, but they put a fresh face on it and they're happy.
Right on.
So, yeah, nothing to be scared of.
Agreed. Absolutely. So, MVP Summit. And that's, you know, clearly interesting, but I wanted to come talk to you because you happen to be here.
Yeah.
Do you like the direction that we're going with C++? And you know, we have a new community guy, Diego, and
yes.
Tony Goodhue's now here.
The vibe.
Talk to me.
So, you know, it's not that the C++ team has changed or the product has changed. What I sense is how the rest of the company has changed.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, you know, someone who's not on the C++ team, are they going to remember to include C++ support in their shiny new feature? Are they going to want C++ sessions in their conference? Are they going to use C++ as their sample query when they check to see how MSDN is doing? It's hard because the plus is a punctuation character. So it's actually a bit of an edge case for searching things like MSDN.
Yeah.
If you're not careful, you just get results for the letter C,
which
doesn't really help. So when I see that, remembering that, oh, yeah, we have another language. Because, you know, time was I would go to sessions. They say, oh, yes, this supports both major languages. Being VB and C#. And I'm always the one in the corner going, And then, oh, Kate's here. Damn. we don't do C++ yet, but, you know. And I don't see that anymore. That's a huge change over the last little while. And a good one. Mm-hmm. Because C++ never went away.
Yeah.
You know, just because it wasn't shiny and new. Mm-hmm. There's all these guys who just come in every day and write, you know, whether it's games or financial software or modeling or scientific stuff. And they just write C++ code for 8 hours, and then they turn their computer off and go home again. Mm-hmm. And they need the tooling to continue to evolve.
Absolutely.
And that's what I'm seeing now.
Yeah, and of course we talk about this all the time, but one of the ironies is, you know, the CLR is written in C++. So, and you know, and I love .NET. Don't get me wrong. I can't wait to talk to Anders about what's coming up in C#, which we'll be able to do over at some point in the future. But essentially, you have spent a lot of time teaching people. I mean, you've done talks. You have talks on Channel 9. Thank you for those screencasts, by the way.
I love doing those.
Let me try to ask you, what would draw somebody to learn C++ today? Like, let's say your son.
Right. So, you know what? If you asked me back when my son was learning C# and VB, I would have said, I don't think anyone is learning C++. That was my belief. Mm-hmm. And I went to a couple of conferences where I met young people in really, really intro to C++ sessions, and went, wait, I'm laboring under a misconception. Mm-hmm. So I was just talking to someone today. He's an MVP in a different area, and he wants to switch his specialty to C++. He's asking me how he can get his lead to switch him over to being a C++ MVP, because he sees that there is this set of abilities where you can just kind of, you know, we talk about which color pill you take, or go down the rabbit hole, or look behind the curtain, and all that. And all those metaphors are really appropriate for C++. Say, maybe stop protecting me quite so much. I'm willing to make some choices if I get the benefit, if I get performance, or if I get easy multi-threading, whatever I'm trying to get. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to try it. And maybe it's hard, but I'm going to try it. And so, yeah, there's really young people moving to C++, having come in through another language, mm-hmm. and they're not going to leave the other behind. I mean, look at, you mentioned, like, which products are written in what. Mm-hmm. Visual Studio, by having the managed parts in it, mm-hmm. is amazingly great. Much better UI than we had before, because it's got that WPF mm-hmm. for the editor, and the zooming, and the scaling, and the coloring. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But if they had said, yeah, we'll just be a little while, we're just going to rewrite the whole old thing in C#, so we'll let you know when we're done, you know, we would not have gotten the Visual Studio release, right?
Absolutely.
So that mixing and matching and that interoping and that making everybody work together, and they're all working on Windows. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the common denominator, so mm-hmm. that's vital.
Yes.
And by luck or whatever, that's a place where I've been really pretty much since the day C++ with the underscores appeared, that old managed C++. And that was horrible, and C++ CLI is not horrible.
Yeah.
And I've sat in that interrupt zone this whole time.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, the C++ CLI stuff is definitely interesting because, like you said, you have the legacy, which is the pearl around the necklace.
Yeah.
But in some sense, you have to be able to interoperate in a more natural way if you are a C++ programmer.
Yes.
So that's good stuff.
Yeah.
You mentioned something really interesting. Let's say, you know, and this is to satisfy the MVP team, who I'm a big supporter of, so you guys out there. How does somebody become, you know, an MVP for C++? Let's say I'm out in the community. What does one have to do besides just want to be?
Basically, you know how they used to say, dress for the job you wish you had? Mm-hmm. You ever hear that advice? So if you would like to be an MVP, just start doing what you see MVPs do.
Okay.
Okay, so MVPs are active in forums, they're active online, they go to Stack Overflow, they speak at user groups, code camps, they blog like crazy, they comment on blogs, they throw articles up on Code Project, they share. Mm-hmm. Just start doing that. And sooner or later, someone will probably notice you. Mm-hmm. If nobody notices you, then reach out to an MVP that you know, mm-hmm. and say, what do you think? Can I be in the club? And I've had that. I've had those emails from people. Mm-hmm. And if I think, yeah, sure, you're helpful, this is good stuff, I fire off a note to my MVP lead, mm-hmm. and things happen. And I tell people, if you don't know any MVPs, mm-hmm. then you're not active in the community, are you?
Yeah.
Right? Because if you're on those same places, you're bumping into that other guy who's always in the same forum, or who speaks at the same things, or whose blog you like to read. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you join the community, and then you ask if you can have if the hat, as it were.
Yeah.
And you just do it. And the best MVPs are the ones who would do exactly the same thing, whether they had the award or not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if for some reason someone said, we're winding this program down, I wouldn't stop blogging, I wouldn't stop speaking, I wouldn't stop writing and answering questions. I would just keep right on keeping on. I would kind of feel a loss because I get a benefit from the program,
mm-hmm.
but the program isn't what makes me do it.
Sure.
So people who want to share what they know,
mm-hmm.
get out there, start sharing what you know, and sooner or later someone will notice, and if they don't, you can find someone to nudge. And,
sure.
And then you're in. You know?
Right on. And then, you know, I mean, also very important is to help us, you know, fly the plane in the right direction.
Yes.
Which
so
is somebody.
Strategic stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you, like, for example, if you think about the next version of C++, which is pretty much guaranteed to be in the state that it is, I guess relatively soon the paper will be finalized, finally.
Yes.
C++ OX.
And will X will get a value, a hex
X
value.
Will get a value, yes. So what are some of your things? I mean, it's not really a super major release, right? They did a lot of incremental things to make the language better,
yeah.
as opposed to add these dramatically brand new features. What are you excited about?
I love lambdas. I do think lambdas change how you think. I really do.
Right on.
So lambdas is big. And then that enables certain things. So what's happening with parallelism with the PPL,
mm-hmm.
it's not that you couldn't do it because, you know, people love to say lambdas are just syntactic sugar.
Mm-hmm.
But I got to say that the phrase just syntactic sugar isn't right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sugar is nice.
Yeah.
A spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
so when you tell someone, like, oh, this is trivial, all I got to do is write a functor, you know, create a function object, overload this operator, yeah, yeah. They go, oh, that's great, but I have a thing, so I'm going to, you know,
yeah.
and they don't do it. And when you give them lambdas, then they do it. So that opens those doors,
mm-hmm.
right? And then something as simple as auto, which is like C# var,
mm-hmm.
that lets you say, I have a lambda X,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm going to pass it around to people. That opens up all kinds of doors about asynchronicity and offloading things.
Nice.
And so stuff suddenly becomes possible. Then you start thinking, oh, we can actually be kind of a little bit functional here. There's some stuff where we're going to think differently. In the same way that when we went from C to C with classes, we started thinking objectly, and then over time, we don't have a good name for that. I hear modern C++ as like this other way of thinking, you know, where we don't type the letters D-E-L-E-T-E. We use SharedPoint, or we use some STL capabilities, that template, not necessarily getting into metaprogramming, but
mm-hmm.
that more advanced C++ stuff. And then we have this continue to move forward and think differently. And the strength and the weakness of C++ is that it covers that huge spectrum. So there's still a guy who's basically writing C and compiling it with a C++ compiler.
Mm-hmm.
There's people who are scared of the STL. There's people who've embraced the STL. There's people who are embracing the new kinds of thinking at C++ OX. And they're all in the same tent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's kind of hard to find a C++ programmer, because depending on who you poke, you know, there could be anyone along that range.
You're right, and thus going back to the dark matter terminology that we just recently learned about from our side in the C++ Renaissance. You've talked about it for many years. What does that mean to you?
To me, some of this is a self-fulfilling prophecy, and some of it I think was really happening. But C++ people stopped showing up for things.
Mm.
They stopped coming to conferences, they stopped buying books, they stopped, I don't know, visiting websites, whatever. And it somehow got interpreted as that they stopped existing.
Mm.
And then it's natural. If you have a conference with a limited number of sessions, you give one and it has half the attendance of all the others, you're going to give less on that topic and less and maybe even down to none. But then the attendees are like, well, I'm not going because they never have anything on my topic, you know. And so then that's self-fulfilling. And no one comes for that, so we won't schedule that. And you tend to forget they exist. And I think that's what had happened over the last little while, that people, you know, like friends would, you're still doing that? Does anyone still do that? Like, really? And I'm like, yeah, a lot of people, thank you. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's not all I do. I do managed as well. Mm-hmm. I've embraced a lot of Windows 7 stuff, huge. But
mm-hmm.
there's no denying that the native code is still very much in existence.
Mm-hmm.
But it was sort of unseen. And so it was exerting an effect. And some of it was just complete, I don't know, hallucination maybe. Like, what do you think Office is written in? You know, what's Windows written in?
You got it.
But people forgot that.
Well, I mean, that's sort of the problem with the way when we have conversations about why did this programming language take off versus that one. A lot of it has to do with the momentum that's pushed by the sort of the large establishments. So USS Microsoft, for example, decided to put a lot of our firepower behind the new and shiny thing, which was actually really, really useful for what it was developed for.
A genuinely good thing as well as being shiny. Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, we have to make it clear that even though, and people are going to see even more content on Channel 9 and all over the place about for native developers specifically, they're also going to see much more stuff for Manage as well. And then, of course, there's this whole HTML5 thing, right? Yeah. Which you have sort of a native-like scripting language. I mean, it has sort of the C-like syntax, nothing at all like a native language. But nevertheless, going to be equally important, and we've already talked about this.
Yeah, so there's lots of different ways to accomplish anything.
Yeah.
And some are harder than others, you know? And it should be possible to explain this is an easy way or a powerful way or a fast way to do something without implying that over there is hard and slow and stupid.
I hear you, but this is what people do, right? When we go for something new, we're like, oh, I'm not going to go backwards.
Yeah.
But in fact, nothing was going backwards. I mean, all along, the very tools and compilers and stuff that we're using to have these garbage. What do you think Patrick Desude programs in? Think he's writing in C#?
I don't
think so.
Probably not.
I really don't think the garbage collector is written in C#. So, I mean, it's interesting and it's wonderful. I mean, it's great that you're here and we'll be able to catch up with you again. The last time we talked, I think, on camera like this was Barcelona, right? Or was there a time after that?
I've sat on the couch with the C++ team a couple times, but I'm not...
Right on. Well, we hope to see you more again on Channel 9, and thank you for being an MVP. I mean, it's a very good thing.
Yeah, thank you to Microsoft for letting me be one.
Cool, well, we're lucky to have you. So we'll talk again soon.
Okay.
And keep on coding.
I always
in native.
Will. Yeah.
All right, cheers.
Cheers.